Welcome, everybody listening to the Encounter Church Sermon Podcast. Thank you for listening to this message. As you take time to process this teaching of Scripture, we at Encounter Church hope that it leads you to have a real and meaningful encounter with God, because we believe that people need an encounter with God more than anything else. So enjoy.
Thank you for spending this early part of your afternoon with us, and I hope that your morning was easy. I hope you had like a really long coffee on the couch where your kids were having their morning screen time and maybe slept in. Anybody slept in just a little bit? So thank you for adjusting your Sunday schedule to be able to join us. And if you have family that you're meeting up with who are preparing a meal and whatever, just say thanks to them as you gather. Why does Easter exist? It's not because of the hunt. It's not because of the chocolate peanut butter eggs, although chocolate peanut butter eggs are manna from heaven. Come on, can I get an amen? Thank you. It isn't because of spring and pastel colors and bulbs and a whole lot more. Easter is an annual reminder of what we're in it for. And I have a complicated history with Easter because there's just so many things I don't get, and I could spend the next 45 minutes telling you about why I have this really conflicted relationship with Easter. But here's how I'm going to bring it to us today. I can embrace an Easter celebration that reminds us of what we're in it for, not just intellectual agreement with the historical past. There's so many times we come into church and we think, you know, as long as the person says the right thing and they say it in the right way and we sing all the right song, Christ the Lord is risen today, and the pastor says he is risen and everyone says he is risen indeed, and as long as we say all the right things and do all the right things and everybody nods in agreement and they check it off their list, whatever, I can't get behind that because I am not in it for agreement with the historical past. I am in it for who Jesus is now and how he leads me now and how he's present in my life today and will be tomorrow and will be in the years to come. Easter, it is a commemoration. It's a remembrance. It's a celebration of the greatest event that's happened in all of human history. It's because of this. John, particularly, records in his gospel, just before Jesus breathed his last suffering breath, he said these words, "It is finished," before he surrendered his earthly body. Jesus said, "It is finished." And what that means to you and I is that Jesus completed the work that the Father sent him from heaven to do. It was done. Jesus fulfilled the prophecies that were foretold. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins by completely and fully absorbing the wrath of God and his anger towards sin. He absorbed it on himself. And why do we relate to that so much? Because that was our suffering he took from us. It's a beautiful story. If you take the word Jesus out of it and you tell that story to a friend, they'll be like, "Wow, somebody did that for a friend?" You'd be like, "Yeah, like give that man a medal. Give that woman a statue somewhere, Washington, D.C. Let's commemorate that." But it's Jesus, y'all, who did that for all who would believe. It's beautiful. He said, "It is finished." The assurance of our faith comes in what happened next. If you've ever gone to a funeral, maybe you've experienced the loss of a loved one in some way, you've asked some serious questions, and you've wrestled with doubt. You've wrestled with the reality of life and death, and you've wrestled with the reality of what is and what the future will bring and how it will be different. And we've all wrestled with the what-ifs surrounding when someone passes away. And so did the disciples when Jesus passed away on that cross. Like, what does this mean now? What do we do now? Where do we go? Is it over? You know, I think about that scene from Forrest Gump. When I was a late high school, early college student, I watched Forrest Gump all the time because we didn't have, like, you know, all the streaming platforms that we had today. And so when we watched movies, we had to watch them on DVD or VHS. And it was really painful. But I watched Forrest Gump a lot, and I love that scene when he's running, you know, like across the country. It's like his third time across the country. And then he stops there in the middle of the desert, and he turns around, and he faces all these people who are following. He's like, "Well, I think I'll go home now." And do you remember the first thing they responded or replied with? "What are we supposed to do?" And when Jesus died on the cross, all the disciples were wrestling and asking the question, like, "Well, now what?" But it wasn't over,
because something important, significant, happened next. He was resurrected. The assurance of faith is a Christian thing because there is no other religion in the world that offers the type of assurance of the next that Christianity does. Christianity is unique in what it offers, unique in the way that it presents hope to people like you and me. And so when Jesus said it is finished, the people who hear those words are relieved. Because we know we've offended God by the way we live and the way we talk and certain things that we have done in our life and the painful burden of wondering, have I done enough? Am I good enough? Will God accept me? Did I give enough? Did I serve enough? And is God pleased with me? I don't know. But we have the words in Scripture of Jesus when he said, it is finished, meaning he had fully and finally accomplished everything we needed him to do on our behalf so that we could have the assurance of hope and faith in the future and things to come. But it is finished was not the end, because it gets better. Matthew 28, verses 1 and 2. Here we have. You'll see the verses up on the screen. I'll read them out loud. Matthew 28, verses 1 to 2. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. I love the flex right there from the angel, just sitting on it. Just like, I don't know, legs crossed, like maybe leaning back a little bit, you know, like kissy face, like, I don't know, maybe taking selfies. Verse 5, the angel spoke to the women. He said, don't be afraid, he said. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he isn't here. He is risen. He is risen from the dead just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was laying. And sure enough, they looked in, and he wasn't there. Jesus had been resurrected. Resurrected. It's amazing. When I think about the resurrection, I do feel like a little bit like a crazy man, because I don't even know how to, in human terms, describe or put that into a context. But we don't talk about the resurrection very often, right? Because it's so bizarre. When you think about it, and I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to accept all these things and believe all these things like they are the norm, but resurrections are not the norm, right? It's wild, but it's a resurrection that had eyewitnesses. Matthew 28, verse 7. And now the angel said, go quickly, tell the disciples that he, speaking of Jesus, is risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. And so once Jesus finally linked up with the disciples and help them sort out the shock of this moment, as any person would have been shocked in that moment, he gave them the instructions that had now become the marching orders for them and are our marching orders and have been for 2,000 years. And in the same series of statements, Matthew writes this in 19 and 20. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. Make disciples of all the nations. And then Jesus reminds them, I will be with you until the end. And that's what they did. They went and they made disciples of the region that they were in and the region next to that and the region next to that. And it eventually crossed the ocean and it went from New Jersey to Pennsylvania and across the United States. And we have all these little churches all over this place where we live of people who are testifying, witnessing to the living, breathing, active work of Jesus to make disciples and followers of him. They were not silent. They did not hesitate, but they were full of courage. They were witnesses. And this event in history was like a slingshot that propelled them, and the earliest friends of Jesus at least, to change the world. It's a beautiful story. And it wasn't their expert discourse in the law. It wasn't their eloquent speech. In fact, they were called plain, ordinary men. And in fact, some of the people who were hearing their witness thought they were drunk. But being an eyewitness of something takes crazy, and it makes it important to you. When you become an eyewitness of something, you become convinced in a way that you have never been convinced before. When you've seen it with your eyes, you believe it in your soul, something is real, and that he exists, and that he is alive. And Jesus' closest friends saw him alive as he appeared to them. And what they were witnesses to was not what happened in the past on the cross, but they were witnesses to the living Jesus, not the dead, not the crucified, the living. And so the book of Acts talks about what they did next after Jesus gave them the marching orders and sent them on their way. And he says this, Starting in verse 22, chapter 2, he says, "People of Israel, listen." These are the disciples proclaiming witness of the living Jesus. "God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles and wonders and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen. And his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. And with the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to the cross and you killed him," which is an acknowledgement of the past. But "God released him from the horrors of death and he raised him back to life. For death could not keep him in its grip," they were proclaiming. And they go on. Verse 29, "Dear brothers, think about it. Think about it. You can be sure that the patriarch David, who was their historical king from the past, hundreds of years prior, he wasn't referring to himself, for he died once, he was buried, and his tomb is still there among us. But he was a prophet," meaning he was looking forward. He was looking at something that was still to come. And there they were, witnessing this thing that was to come that they had now seen with their own eyes. "But he was a prophet, and he knew God had promised with an oath that one day David's own descendant would sit on his throne." David was looking into the future, and he was speaking of the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that God would not leave him among the dead, but he would allow his body, or not allow his body to rot in the grave, but God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. We have witnessed it. God said it was going to happen. These disciples were connecting with the culture of the day. They were proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus, that yes, he has died, but he did not stay there. He is risen. We are all witnesses of this. And they continue on. You read through the book of Acts, you see this over and over and over again. Chapter 4, verse 33, it says, "The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of Jesus." And it continues, as they pressed into the testimony of their witness and shared it with the world. The same is true of you and I. But we witness and we testify to God who is alive, Jesus who is with us. And he was working as the church work continues. But here's the rub. See, sometimes the rub is, when we come into church, what we're looking for is, we're looking for someone to say all the things that we already know and that we already agree with, right? "Okay, pastor, just tell me that Jesus came out of the tomb. That's why I'm here. It's Easter Sunday. I'm meeting up with my family. Just tell me all the things I've already heard that I already know." And unfortunately, you know, we've spent too many years doing that in church. We've spent too many years just repeating and recycling the same message. Jesus was crucified. Jesus is risen from the dead, without bringing into context what it means for you and I. And what I want to do, what I want to be the most honest with today, and this is why I can reconcile my conflict with Easter's, because I can be truthful in saying this. How we handle our witness of the work of Jesus in this world is the working out of the agreement with the things that have happened in the past. This is where it becomes real and alive and fruitful and visible to the world that we live in. Being a witness to the living Jesus is better. And being a witness to the living Jesus matters the most. We spend a lot of time with our friends defending Christ crucified in the past. And we look back and we're like, "Can't you just believe that this happened? Can't you just agree that this existed? Can't you just like get on the same page with me? Like, what happened in the Bible is what historically accurate." And I believe that deep down inside, we need to wrestle with the gospel and what has happened with the cross. But what we are pointing to and what today reminds me of is that Jesus did not stay dead in the past. He is not a dead historical figure that we commemorate with a statue in Washington, D.C., out front of a convention center or an arena. He is not a dead historical figure, but a living, active, relational Jesus who is in our lives today. And so we defend Christ crucified for what it means to us, but we witness and we testify to the living Jesus who is on a throne, who, while we were singing 10 minutes ago, received not only just in his heart, but with his ears, our actual singing as praise and worship that was beautiful to him. How cool. How awesome. Your song was a witness to Jesus who is enthroned as king. But it's all just eyewitness testimony. Well, here's the good news about the eyewitness testimony of Scripture. It's consistent and it was widespread. Widespread. And I know it's a jump. And I know it's a challenge to go from doubt to belief, but I want to challenge you in your thinking and in your heart to look back over the past and wrestle with the amount of things that we believe in that we don't actually have any evidence of, simply because we have eyewitness testimony. There are hundreds, listen to me, hundreds of eyewitnesses to the living and then the crucified and then the resurrected Jesus. Over and over and over again, we have consistent witness to the living, active, relational, close Jesus Christ. The earliest disciples believed it. They witnessed to the fact that Jesus did not stay dead, that he was alive, and that Jesus is alive today and he can be followed. You know, it's kind of weird for me to say that as a pastor. I totally get it to say that Jesus is alive. It was not just crucified and then gained a lot of followers as a result of it. I think the fact that I believe in a man who was dead for 3 days and then rose from the dead and with all of his wounds healed, I kind of feel weird about that. Because it's weird. Because I never witnessed it with my own eyes. If it happened to me, it would not go like that. It's a little bit weird. You guys remember, do you ever watch Zoolander? Do you remember Will Ferrell's character, Mugatu, who's like, at the end of the movie, Derek Zoolander had to save the prime minister of Malaysia. Am I the only one who saw this movie? Okay, and then, you know, they're just talking about all of Derek Zoolander's looks, like Blue Steel, Ferrari, La Tigra, and then just like, and then there was Magnum, you know, and Will Ferrell just in this moment of like chaos and craziness, he's like, they're all the same, look, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Like, sometimes I feel that way when I'm talking about the resurrection when it comes to my witness, the living Jesus. But I don't think I am crazy, because throughout the course of my life, I have witnessed a very close, very real, very relational. That was a little too much to just be coincidental moments with God. And so I am a witness, and I am confident of my witness. And I believe that it's my calling to be a witness to Jesus. Here's my spicy thought for the day as I bring my last section near the end. My spicy thought for the day is, we are not winning anyone to heaven by getting them to agree with history. We're not winning anyone to heaven by getting them to agree with the past. We're winning someone to heaven by getting them to believe that Jesus is not a dead historical figure, but one who is alive and living. And if Jesus is alive and living, then that means he can be followed. And that's the invitation, is to follow him, is to do the things that he says, is to consider the ways that he lived, and to love in the way that he loved, and to be gracious and to be bold at the times when he was gracious and bold. And so my challenge for you this year is, spend your time witnessing not to the past as though someone might interpret it as a dead historical figure, but to be a witness to the living, active, real, now and today Jesus. And so as we sort out the mystery of this absurd claim in our souls, I believe that God sorts out the mystery of that absurd claim in the soul of the person hearing it. Just as he did with you, he will do with them. I believe it. What does it sound like to change your witness to the living Jesus? We don't say Jesus was crucified. We say Jesus is alive. That's a change in language. We don't say Jesus has been active in my life and point back to an altar call at some time when we were young or a conversation on our bed with our mom or dad when they were trying to help us understand the Bible. We say Jesus is active in my life. We say Jesus wants to know you. He wants to know your hopes, wants to understand your struggles. You say Jesus is ready to comfort you when you need comfort. You say Jesus is ready to present to you a better life. Easter is a time for God's people to be witnesses to the living Jesus, who is today and who will be with us this afternoon and tomorrow and the years to come. I've witnessed a lot of crazy things in my life. And some of the things I've witnessed have made me say, I can't believe I just saw that. Crazy things. Like even things that I saw with my own eyes, I still like question. I'm like, did that really happen? Because that's crazy. Even though I literally saw them with my eyes. One example, when Kristen and I were dating, early on in dating, we were in my apartment watching Friends. As you do. This is back when Friends was still on TV. I know, thank you. Like, we didn't need DVD, we didn't need like a streaming. Yeah, back in the 1800s. And all of a sudden we heard this loud bang. And we're like, came from outside. We're in an apartment complex. Obviously, we were concerned, whatever. So, like, we're like, we should go check it out. We left our apartment. We walked around the corner. And the apartment complex had a pool that no one ever used. Because apartment complex pools, you know. And there was a car upside down in the pool. And two young women standing on the edge, soaking wet, catching their breath. They flipped off the road into the pool, upside down. And there was a guy who was in an apartment closer who had dove in the water and was able to undo the one woman's seatbelt. And I remember just standing there like, and what I'm seeing, is this real? My dad and I went to a lot of Flyers games growing up. And he called me one day when I was at work. He's like, hey, I have tickets to Game 7, Flyers versus New Jersey Devils. Whoever wins goes to the Stanley Cup. Can you get off work? And so I went to my boss, who just so happened to be a Flyers fan. I was like, Jesus, thank you. Can I go? And he was like, yes, you have to go. Like, we'll cover the rest of your shift. I had like 2 hours left. And he was like, just get out of here. So we went to the game, and it was a great game. And it was really close. But in that game, Eric Lindros, the Flyers captain and superstar of Philadelphia, got hit for the very last time. He received a concussion that ended his career. And I remember standing there looking like, oh my gosh, Flyers lost. Never went to the Stanley Cup that year. And he never played hockey again. I'm like, man, I can't believe we were there for that. That was wild. Let me tell you one final better story. I told you I was a youth pastor. We're going to bring it to a close here. I'm going to give you guys a chance to tell us something really great that you've witnessed in your life when it comes to Jesus. I was a youth pastor for 16 years, and so I took kids to camp a lot, and it was, like, awesome. And Harvey Cedars is this place in New Jersey where we would go, and we just had the best time. Well, there was this kid named Jason who was coming to our youth group, and he was kind of like this tall, skinny kid with glasses, blonde hair. And Jason worked at the Burger King, and Sunday afternoon, the day before we were supposed to go, because we leave early Monday morning to go to camp, Sunday afternoon, I got a phone call from one of our guys. He said, something came up, I can't go to camp. I was like, that's really sad. I'm sorry, but bless you. Like, hope whatever you're doing next week works out. And so then I got off the phone with this kid and realized, like, I have a spot for a guy, a high school guy. We have the space in the room for him, and it's already been paid for. Like, who can take this spot? I thought of Jason. Jason was a fringe kid. He came to youth group every once in a while through a friend. And I called Jason up. I was like, hey, we have this spot. It's paid for. You want to go to Harvey Cedars with us? Well, he was scheduled to work because he was working all week. It was in the middle of summer. So he was just like putting in the hours, 17-year-old kid. And his boss wouldn't let him get off for the week. So he quit. And I'm not endorsing that, but I admire his boldness. So he quit his job so he could come with us on Monday morning and go to camp. And I just remember thinking, like, okay, I hope God does something great in this kid's life. Because what he did and what he gave up to be here in this moment was pretty special. Tuesday evening during the session, the speaker, he's preaching the gospel. And he's just preaching Christ crucified. And he says, he looks out, and you know, he's like, I believe that there's someone in this room. And probably 350 kids in this room, high school students, all sorts of different backgrounds. He's like, I believe there's someone in this room. He's like, God's laid it on my heart. There's someone in this room who needs to believe. And no one responded. I'm just standing in the back. I'm just like, okay, God. As I was doing, I was just praying. I'm like, maybe there's somebody here. Like, God, let's do it. Let's see it. Send your spirit. We're ready for it. And the speaker said one more time, he's like, is there someone that needs to believe in the gospel? And from the back of the room, Jason, he stands up on his chair. He's like, I need to believe. And we all just lost. And in that moment, he agreed with the past. but he admitted that in the present, Jesus is inviting him to follow, which is to do what Jesus did and to say what Jesus said and to live the way that Jesus wanted him to live. I have witnessed with my own eyes the real, present work of God. He is not a dead historical figure of the past. He is here now. And he is alive and he is active. Today, on this Easter Sunday, before we bring it to a close, I want to give you a chance to witness to the living Jesus. You don't have to be nervous now. This is totally optional. So if you're new with us, don't worry. You don't have to. But anybody is welcome to come. And the band's going to come and close us. But if you would like to come to this mic and just in a sentence or two, witness to the living Jesus, we want to give you a chance to do that because we love passing the mic here at Encounter. And if there is something in your life that you have seen, experienced, it's like, I have seen this with my own eyes. Jesus is not a dead historical figure. He is alive. This microphone is open to your testimony and your witness.
Thank you for listening. At this point in our service, those who were in attendance transitioned to a hands-on activity to help make the scriptures stick. We hope you'll join us one day as we strive to engage the disciple of Christ with multiple learning styles, hands-on creatives, and in-person serving in our community. Check us out at www.encounterchurchberks.com. Sign up for our weekly email. Follow us on social. Have a great rest of your week.